Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows, and on our show, we like to talk about local happenings, things going on in the community that you hear a little bit about, but maybe you want to know more about. Anything that we feel like needs to be addressed a little bit better and brought to the forefront. And with us today, we have Miss Ashley Swan and Miss Caitlin Steakley. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So, we wanted to have you guys on because I feel like you guys are doing some phenomenal work. And it's a program that you guys started. It's called Food to the Rescue. Tell me a little bit about that. When did it get started? How did this come about?
Fall of 2016, it was brought to my attention that by a local school teacher that there were some kids in the community that didn't eat when they went home, didn't eat when they were on school breaks. And so I just started doing a little bit of research and looking into it and found that, in fact, that was true. Mm-hmm. And so I learned more about the backpack program that we have, and I decided that we needed to get food to the kids' homes. And we started our first deliveries with 8 kids in the summer of 2017.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So in the summer, so after school was out, is that right?
It took some time to get the nonprofit going and paperwork and just getting everything in place, where I was going to get the food, who was going to deliver, volunteers, just all that fun stuff.
So I'm going to back up just a little bit, folks. Anybody who knows Ashley or knows the name Ashley Swan, she is not a rookie to starting a nonprofit and raising money, are you? What else have you done for the community?
Well, I helped with the help of your wife build Heart of the City Playground.
Yes, that was a phenomenal feat. So anyway, so you weren't new to this and to this idea. So you knew you could accomplish it. So what was the next step? I mean, what you said you did a lot of research. You have obviously a lot of folks that help you. When did Caitlin get involved?
We attended a Bible study together, and she started talking about this mission that she needed to feed the kids, and it just really drew me to what was going on. And I had previously heard of the PEP Foundation, which is stuff that with the backpack programs, but I didn't realize there were the gaps there that there were. And I had been looking for ways to get involved, and it just kind of fell in my lap and then just ran with it. I mean, and then we've been here ever since. And currently we're feeding 550 children this December. So it's grown a lot, and it's been a lot of work, but it's been good work. So.
Awesome. Awesome. So you mentioned something, Caitlin. You mentioned the PEP program, the backpack program. Mm-hmm. Tell me, you said there's gaps maybe, and you guys fill some things in that they don't do, and maybe they do some things maybe you guys don't do. Tell me how you two correlate and how you guys fill in the gaps.
So the backpack program is a part of the PEP Foundation for Putnam County, which is the Putnam Education Partnership. It's ran by some different individuals within the school system and some different leaders throughout the county and pastors and stuff. And the PEP Foundation has something called the backpack program. The backpack program sends home two or three meals for the weekend for children. And that'll be something that goes in their backpacks on Fridays that they can eat during the weekend, because there are a lot of children who don't eat on the weekends either and don't have access to some sort of secure meal. That doesn't mean they won't have a meal, but that means they don't know where it's coming from. So what their gaps were that they did not deliver or have any type of food going home after the last Friday of a break. And in Putnam County, breaks are 2 weeks. So that's a really long time period for kids to not have food or not know where their next meal is going to come from. And on top of that, these children are relying on at least 2 to 3 meals a day from the school system. And that's something that was an extra expense for these families that already don't know where food is coming from. Mm. So the biggest thing is that that's a really tough time for a lot of families, because they're dealing with their kids being home, not having childcare, a lot of lack of transportation, a lot of just uncertainty. And then on top of that, they have the added expense of their children being home, which seems for somebody like me or Ashley or you, Matt, that's not a big deal for us. But for them, it really is. So that's one of the gaps that we fill. with Food to the Rescue.
We're meeting today with Ashley Swan and Caitlin Steakley with Food to the Rescue, and talking right now about the Food to the Rescue and the PEP program and how they kind of coincide. The PEP program, I believe, has been around for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's. I don't know exactly how long it's been around, but it's been around for a lot longer than we have been.
Right, right. And so you guys, they send food home on the weekend and not really for break. So where do you guys come in? And tell me what you guys do that's different from what they do.
Well, we do send food home specifically for breaks, and we mostly deliver to all the recipients of our program.
Okay.
So we actually take food to their homes. They independently filled out forms and come to us and give us their information, and then we're able to bring food with their permission to their residence.
So you deliver it. So it's kind of like a Meals on Wheels, really.
Yeah.
But for school children.
Yes. It could be equated to that. We also feel like emergency needs, like we'll have a lot of, not a lot, but we have a few requests throughout just the school year or the summer or whatever for people that are needing extra food, and we'll meet those needs as we are able.
And last year, Putnam County was actually out for
snow,
4 days for snow, and we actually delivered a good, 15 families or food during that that snow break.
Okay, I want to back up again a little bit, because the fact that you guys deliver, I knew that, but most folks probably don't. There is a lot of logistics that go into this. How in the world did you guys, did you individually go around to each school to find these folks that need this? I mean, tell me how, a little bit more, how you got started and found all these folks. And
that was actually one of the hardest parts, was finding the kids that, you know, wanted us or trusted us enough to be able to deliver to the homes.
We actually went to Toys for Tots last Christmas? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this time last year. And we decided to hand out our applications at that particular event because we knew those were income vetted recipients for Toys for Tots. So at that event, we signed up over 300 people. So we went from having 20 in fall break of last year to almost 350 for winter break. And we had like a week to plan it out and get it ready.
In 17?
Yes.
Went
so
from
last
fall break
last,
to
last
winter
December.
Break in 17 from, would you say 20 or so to 300?
We went from, it was 20 or 30 to like 320, I think it was like 325 or something like that. Was our official number. In like a week, and we had like a week to do it. It was like they handed out toys December 15th and we had to deliver December 23rd or something like that. So it was a really interesting week.
And I must say our community has been very gracious in monetary donations, and people are really enjoying, you know, sponsoring food and in volunteering too. People love getting involved and helping us pack the bags and delivering too.
We're meeting today with Ashley Swan and Caitlin Steakley with Food to the Rescue. You mentioned volunteering, so let's touch on that since you talked about it. How can folks get involved, and what can they do?
So to get involved is just a matter of going online and telling us that you're interested in getting involved. So our website is www.foodtotherescue.org, all one word. And on there, you'll see a volunteer link, and you'll be able to just sign up and say that you're interested. And then you'll start getting the emails and promptings when it comes time for us to pack, deliver, and hand out food.
So you guys have a big warehouse that you're using? I mean, I imagine there's a lot of food, a lot of space that you need. Is that right?
We have a facility where we have like our just back stock food or our pantry of sorts. But most of the food is ordered the week of, and it'll be delivered to whatever location we're packing. We've been successful in using multiple different churches throughout the community that have been generous enough to open their doors to allow us to use their facilities to pack. So this summer we were able to pack at the River Community Church all summer, and that was really great. The summer's a really tough time for us. I feel like that's something I can mention here, because the summer we have three deliveries. So basically we have the same amount in that quarter of the year as we do the rest of the school year. The difference between us and the PEP Foundation is they don't do anything during the summer either. Okay. So we do fill in that gap too, where there's children that don't eat during the summer. So during the summer, the river let us pack. And then this last time we packed at Cookeville Free Will Baptist. And then we are packing at Stephen Street Baptist Church for the winter delivery. So we've used Washington Avenue last spring break. So we've used quite a few different facilities throughout the county, and they've really opened up their doors to us.
So obviously, I don't think I touched on this, but this is a Putnam County thing, right? In countywide, I mean, this is not just a city of Cookeville thing.
No, it's absolutely a Putnam County thing, and it's more of a somewhat of an Upper Cumberland thing. Okay. We do have kids from Gainesboro. We have a couple different kids that go to Rickman and Livingston Academy, and we do have some White County students as well that are on our program. We don't turn away somebody because they're not particularly enrolled in Putnam County schools.
Okay.
And we take any child that's over the age of one. So once again, we're not necessarily a school system related thing.
Right.
We're just a Hungry Kids related.
Gotcha. So how do the folks outside of Putnam County, how do they find you then? Or
they found us the same way as the other people found us.
They've heard about it. They get online or whatever and they contact you guys, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any kind of vetting process they have to go through, or is it just, how do you figure out if, you know, that they really need this? Or?
Well, most of our recipients, like I said, were Toys for Tots. So that was over... that was over 300 and something of our 500. Our newest 125 that we just added are backpack kids from an elementary school here.
Okay.
So those people are all already included in some sort of program in the county.
Okay.
That
okay.
needs assistance. Some of the other ones that have applied, we talk to each of the families. That's our best avenue of vetting. And we've been very successful. We haven't had any complaints really about people feeling like someone's abusing us or whatever. And the truth is that it's way more needed than what I think most people realize.
Yeah. We're speaking today with Ashley Swan and Caitlin Steakley about Food to the Rescue. And when we return, we will speak a little bit more about some logistics of the breaks and in particular, the snow days. Thanks. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows. With us today, we have Ashley Swan and Caitlin Steakley with Food to the Rescue. And in the first half of the show, we talked about how this came about and about exactly about the gaps that this fills in for the PEP program. And really, the biggest thing you guys do, the goal was to cover school breaks for children to make sure not just the weekend, but the breaks, fall break, Christmas break, spring break, summer break. And I guess when you talk about breaks at school, those are the easy breaks because those are, you know, those dates, right? They're coming up. You've got so many people to get food to. But what about snow days? We mentioned this earlier in the first part of the program, something about snow days. That would be tough, you know, because, I mean, you wake up in the morning, school's called off. You don't know if they're going to go be out 2, 3, 4 days. How do you guys handle that?
So last year we ended up we called people and asked them if they needed assistance, and we had a lot of response, and we were able just to kind of mobilize like the group of volunteers we had at the time and take food out. So we'll do something similar again this year. We actually started using a text message service, which has been really efficient for us. So we'll probably send out text messages this year if we have people that we start seeing people needing food if there is snow days. Yeah. So those are just parts of it. I mean, it's kind of, you got to roll with the punches. Both of us kind of like the excitement of got to do it now type of personality. So it's good for us.
Yeah.
So
I guess on snow days, is it harder to get volunteers on snow days too? Because I mean, that just kind of pops up out of nowhere.
It wasn't this past year, but it wasn't as large of a population size of like how many we have now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that it will be. It's always difficult to get volunteers, and we always seem to have just enough, which is kind of the story of Food to the Rescue, is everything seems to be just exactly what we need every single time. So as most people know, Food to the Rescue is a Christian organization, and it has a lot of prayer that goes behind it, and it never fails that every time that we do need something that it shows up and it's just enough. So I feel like that's kind of like our testimony with Food to the Rescue.
Yeah,
so if a snow day comes, people will show up and it'll always be just enough. That's that's what I have learned.
Yeah. Well,
every
good.
Time.
Well, speaking of snow days, kind of leads me into the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. What are you guys doing different during Christmas, during the holidays this year? Is it anything new, a new program you've got, or how can someone help during this time?
Yeah, we've got an awesome promotion that we're going to run for the Giving Tuesday, and we've actually already kicked it off, and it's called Sponsor a Child. And right. So for $50, you can sponsor a child, and that will cover food for that child for the full year of the 2019 school breaks. And we'll send you a thank you ornament, and it's our cute little, I don't know if you've seen our logo, but it has a grape, an apple, and a carrot. And so the ornament is the cute little carrot.
Okay.
And so Caitlin's wanting to name him, but
we haven't come up with a name yet.
But he's super cute.
Yeah. So any suggestions we will gladly take.
You should reserve the naming rights to the biggest sponsor, right?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
For all four of our characters. That's a good idea.
So they can go and sponsor a child for $50, and that sponsors them for all of the breaks for next year.
Mm-hmm. 2019,
yeah.
Or you can sponsor more than one child.
Yeah, you can sponsor a whole family. We have families from one child up to 8 or 9 children. So there are many, many ways to sponsor.
So tell us a few more ways to sponsor or to be involved. Can you just bring food to you, or what else?
So we prefer monetary donations. All of our children get the same things in their bags, so it's really hard for us to try to collect 500 ravioli cans of ravioli, or 500 cans of something. So it's easiest for us to just get monetary donations and be able to use those monetary donations to purchase what we need. And that's been the most efficient way we have tried collecting food, and we will gladly take collected food and distribute it, whatever somebody wants to collect. But the most efficient and easiest way for people to give is monetarily.
Now, we did just do a collection of peanut butter. We did a Spread the Love. It was really cute. That's where we got our fourth character, the peanut. Mr. Peanut.
Yeah.
And we need
because he's important.
But we like Mr. Peanut.
Yeah.
And we collected peanut butter. So, I mean, if somebody really wanted to collect something, probably peanut butter would be the easiest thing, because we like to put a jar of peanut butter in each bag.
Okay. Yeah.
We're meeting today with Miss Ashley Swan and Caitlin Steakley with Food to the Rescue, and been discussing all of their programs and the things that they do for the kids during the break. And we've also been talking about the holidays and how you can go and sponsor a child on giving. Is it Giving Tuesday, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
But you also have an ornament. So this ornament, if you sponsor a child, you'll send it. But you can probably just go buy ornaments, right? An ornament from Food to the Rescue?
So the ornaments aren't actually just for sale. They're a gift if you sponsor a child.
Okay.
So if you sponsor the child for $50, you'll get an ornament in the mail or pickup, however we end up having to distribute it. But you can visit our website to buy one of those ornaments. And actually, Ashley can tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you can visit our website at www.foodtotherescue.org. And you can scroll down to, on the right-hand side, there'll be a spot where it says Sponsor a Child. And there's a little box where you click. It says Network for Good. And you'll click on that box, and then you will fill out, you know, if you want to sponsor, how many children you want to sponsor, and enter your donation. You can actually pay through PayPal on Network for Good, and then you'll enter all your information, and we'll receive that, and then we'll contact you about getting your ornament or ornaments to you.
Of course, you mentioned the website. I guess I'm sure you guys are on Facebook as well, and any other social media?
Facebook and Instagram.
Instagram, okay. So that's a way that someone can go and sponsor a child and get the ornament. Mm-hmm. But now, how can you sign up to volunteer through the website as well?
Yes. Once we have our Sign Up Genius link going, once we figure out, we've already got the location, but once we figure out the dates and times, we'll do a Sign Up Genius link, and you click on the volunteer button on our webpage, and it will take you to that Sign Up Genius, and you can sign up for packing, delivering.
And we've been talking about different ways that you can sign up or volunteer. So you can sign up to drive, to pack boxes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What other way? Sort food, I suppose. So
yeah,
have you guys had a lot of good feedback on that? Meaning, I foresee this being a good project for Boy Scouts, for Girl Scouts, for any civic organization?
Yeah, we had a Girl Scout troop come over fall break, and they helped pack bags, and they did an excellent job. And then we also had some students from Cookeville High School Beta Club. And so if there's any kids out there or college students that need volunteer hours, yeah, I mean, packing and sorting the bags is a great way to get volunteer hours.
So you said that you've kind of moved locations, you know, meaning using different churches and all that. How would someone keep up with that if they're wanting to volunteer and say like, I want to volunteer, but I can't drive across to where you guys are at for this particular project, but maybe the next one? Is there a method to where you guys go, or just whoever is willing to open their doors?
Pretty much just whoever's willing to open their doors. We have tried to include different churches just because of awareness. So we wanted to, any of the facilities that have been open to us coming, we've been very receptive to that. We didn't want to just singly use just one church just because we felt like the more people that knew about this, just the better. But we've been very fortunate, and they have opened their doors. And most of the locations are pretty central. So if you have good transportation and you can do the hours that we need, then it's not a very difficult or long process. Even like packing for us, with how many people have showed up, only takes maybe an hour and a half.
Oh, wow. Well, last time we did it in record time of like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Really? So many people.
Yeah.
Like, how many people showed up then?
We had like 50 show up, 50. I think. I was maybe more. I don't think we counted. I think we were so overwhelmed. We were like, oh my gosh, all these people. Just like I said, everybody shows up in just the right amount of time. So it's always worked out like we needed it to. But the big thing is, it doesn't take that long to volunteer. It's not an all-day thing. It's not even a six-hour shift. We're talking like an hour to an hour and a half, especially if we have groups that are doing it. And then on top of that, like, driving honestly takes less than an hour. So all of our routes are, they're all really close together. We've done a really good job of making sure that if somebody's going to one house, they're going to houses that are like 3 to 5 houses nearby. So they're not going like to 3 sides of the county to deliver food.
Okay.
Yes, some of those houses are all the way in Silver Point or all the way near Jackson County, but you're going to deliver to houses that are nearby. So you're not going to be coming back to Cookeville to deliver to on top of that. So it does. It really only takes about 45 minutes to an hour to complete something as far as what we need for a volunteer.
We've been speaking with Caitlin Steakley and Ashley Swan with Food to the Rescue and talking about how this project got started and all the folks that they serve and the gap that they fill in from the PEP program, sending the food home on breaks and on summer break. I want to say thank you so much for everything that you guys have done and are doing, because this is a major undertaking, a lot of logistics, a lot of moving parts. And I want to say thank you for doing that.
Well, it's our pleasure. We really enjoy it.
And I hope it continues to grow. And, you know, just from my perspective, I see this as a great, phenomenal learning opportunity for us as a family to deliver food, you know, with our kids, so that they understand that this is a real problem. This is an issue. I mean, my kids are lucky they get to eat, and not every kid is lucky. And I would hope some families and some folks would take advantage of this, not just during the holiday. Don't just make it a holiday thing. Mm-hmm. Make it a break thing.
We do have quite a few families that'll show up and do the deliveries together.
I should mention that there is, with delivering, the only thing that has to be done ahead of time is you do have to have a background check. So you have to be able to pass a background check to be able to deliver for us. So that's the only thing that would stand in the way of someone being able to deliver.
And you guys do that for them if they call
yes,
to volunteer?
Yes, we do that. Or if they've had one the last year, they can let us know where from and we can get that information.
Well, ladies, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come speak to us. And I hope the good Lord continues to provide exactly what you need.
Thank you.
He will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.